on afternoons, Screen Talk. Thanks to iPrimus, proudly connecting Australians for over 25 years. Make the smart choice and switch to seriously reliable internet.
Anna Corday is with us, of course, Nine's entertainment extraordinaire, and there's a stack to get through today. Anna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Golda, this is going to be a powerhouse performance from Helen Mirren, I'd imagine. It's the story of Golda Meir.
That's correct. So Helen Mirren's biopic about the first and only Prime Minister of Israel is finally getting its Australian release. It sort of initially had a release internationally sort of September, October last year, and we obviously know the events of October 7th sort of, you know, impacted the release internationally, sort of in Australia. But the film is focused on Golda, who we know was Israel's Iron Lady. And it's focused on this particular 19 days during the Yom Kippur War of 1973. And sort of, you know, she's staring down the potential for Israel's complete destruction. So, as you said, powerhouse performance from Helen Mirren. It is a role that she did cop a bit of flack for taking because she isn't Jewish. But the role has been defended by Golda's grandson. He wanted her in the role, as well as the director. Look, the film itself, I wasn't totally blown away by. I think, you know, Helen Mirren, as we can expect, gives an outstanding performance as Golda, but the film itself just didn't sort of maybe hit the marks that maybe I thought it would. But it is, I guess, sort of an interesting sort of war drama in a sense. But the other movies that are out this week, we've got Boy Kills World, which is another very highly violent and gruesome action flick about a deaf boy whose family's murdered and he gets trained by this rogue shaman who trains him up to be this deadly assassin. So that's kind of a movie for people who like those gory martial arts movies. Not necessarily my take. And then we've got a documentary about called The Road to Patagonia, which just follows this Aussie ecologist called Matty Hannon over the course of like 16 years, and he embarks on this solo adventure to surf the west coast of the Americas while traveling on his motorbike. You know, it's like Alaska to Patagonia. And his world kind of falls apart during that journey, and then he meets the woman of his dreams. But it's honestly a really beautiful documentary, absolutely stunning imagery. So there are three very different options at the cinema this week.
Absolutely. Look, you can't go wrong with the imagery around Patagonia, can you? I mean, that's sort of just, the camera just eats that up.
Exactly. It's absolutely stunning. And I think, you know, sometimes docos don't necessarily need to have a big screen sort of cinema release, but this one, you know, needs to be seen on a big screen because it is so stunning.
Okay, now let's go to the streaming services. There's this thing on Prime Video called The Idea of You.
Yes, this is Anne Hathaway's new romance drama. Now, the movie is based on the book of the same name. It's all about this 40-year-old single mother who accidentally falls in love with a 24-year-old pop star from a very famous boy band. Now, the author of the book, Anne Hathaway as well, they're all claiming that this is not Harry Styles fan fiction, but look, the world kind of disagrees. I kind of disagree after watching the movie. It feels very much like Harry Styles fan fiction. But look, that aside, the movie itself is quite enjoyable. I mean, Anne and her co-star, Nicholas Galitzine, they've got really great chemistry, which you kind of need to help make a movie about a 16-year age gap kind of ultimately work. Mm-hmm. It's billed as a bit of a rom-com, but I don't think I would go so far to say it's a comedy at all. It's a cute movie. I enjoyed it. It kind of feels like one of those movies that's a bit of a guilty pleasure when you sit down and watch.
Okay. Is this the one where Anne Hathaway had a bit of a gripe lately because she had to kiss 11 different blokes one after the other to get a compatibility measure or something?
So she's been speaking in interviews for this because obviously a huge thing about the film is the chemistry. And so because she was a co-producer on the film, she sort of has been saying that she got to control what the chemistry test was like for this film. So it wasn't about making out with guys and seeing if, you know, they, you know, kissed well or anything like that. So her comments were about how for other rom-coms and other romance movies that she's done in the past, she has had to kiss pretty much a lineup of men and that she didn't like it. She felt uncomfortable. So it was all about, her comments were all about how this time around she was in control and that wasn't on the table.
I see. Okay, now Disney Plus have Shard Lake.
So this is the opposite of The Idea of You because it's a Tudor-era murder mystery drama. So we're in the 16th century. It's during the dissolution of the monasteries and we follow a lawyer by the name of Shard Lake who is sent by King Henry VIII's advisor, Thomas Cromwell, to investigate a suspicious death at this remote monastery. And Shard Lake is ultimately drawn into this, you know, web of deceit and lies. It's actually really good. I'm a sucker for anything from this time period, but I like the angle is sort of a murder mystery rather than, you know, usually we get a biopic kind of story. You know, they pick a person from that era and tell us their story. But this, you know, feels a little bit different from what we usually get served up. Really? And we have Sean Bean as Cromwell, which is what initially piqued my interest. And Arthur Hughes is fantastic as Matthew Shardlake, who's our lead man in this. So look, if you like a good drama, if you like a good murder mystery, or if you like a good Tudor story like I do, then this one is a good one to watch. That's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I love all that stuff set in the Tudor era. It's fantastic era.
It's great.
Now, Stan, I know, have been promoting this one, and I'll be watching it, The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Yeah, so this is rounding out the week. It's another World War II drama. This time it's based on the true story of Lali Sokolov. So it's set partly in 2003 in Melbourne when he meets this author called Heather Morris, and he begins telling her his story. And it's also set, obviously, in 1942, where we follow him as he finds himself sent to the prison camp. And, you know, he's fighting to survive, and, you know, he gets his role as a prison tattooist, and he's tasked with tattooing prison numbers on people's arms. And that's when he meets this woman called Geeta, and he falls in love. And it's sort of their fight to sort of not only survive, but, you know, they ultimately get separated again when things start to change in during the war. And so, you know, it's not only fighting to survive, but it's fighting to sort of find the woman that he loves. It is based on a book that was a little bit controversial when it was released a couple of years ago. So, you know, it claims it's based on his memories. And so that's how they've gotten around a few of the historical inaccuracies that a lot of critics sort of felt that they brushed over and sort of didn't really actually capture what actually happened in Auschwitz at the time. But that's all kind of been addressed in this adaptation. And look, I'm really enjoying it. It's harrowing. Sometimes it's quite difficult to watch the way that they've addressed the atrocities that happened there. But you know, it's not the first time we've seen a World War II sort of story of this kind. But look, we've got really great performances from Melanie Lynskey and Harvey Keitel and the newcomer, Jonah Howard King. So that's on Stan today.
Right, just before you go, let's go back to the start. Golda, and you said that Helen Mirren's copped a bit of flack for playing Golda Meir because she's not Jewish. I mean, I've heard this before from a range of different perspectives. Oh, that person's not from this background or whatever, therefore why are they... But at the end of the day, are we not the critics? Are they not forgetting these people are actors? They are always pretending to be somebody that they're not. What's the big issue?
I do see it from both sides. I think, you know, obviously when you have people of colour saying that, you know, you've taken a role that was designed for a person of colour, or, you know, we've had issues with Scarlett Johansson playing an Asian character before, I fully understand those arguments because, you know, that definitely is whitewashing. But it does get complicated when you get into roles like a Jewish person or something like that. There's been a lot of complicated sides, but I think ultimately, you know, it's like Bradley Cooper last year when he played in Maestro.
Yes.
If the family are in support, I feel like perhaps you have to go with the fact that the family have wanted this person and, you know, they've accepted that they aren't Jewish or, and that sort of thing. But it is, it's a complicated discussion.
Yeah, it is. Everyone's got an opinion and no one's opinion's wrong. I just sort of come from a pure point of view. So, well, hang on, you're always playing someone who ain't you, unless it's an autobiography. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have a problem. But if others do, well, okay, first world problems. Good to talk as always, Anna. We'll speak entertainment same time next week, all right?
Thank you.
Anna Corday does a wonderful job for us there with entertainment.